This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
John Derma,
Jane Bolton,
Anne Weir,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Now, John, you've been a farmer all your life.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
So you grew up on a farm as well?
Grew up on a farm.
Yep.
Started work on a farm in 1963.
Yeah. Okay.
2 years at Homewood Station down in the Wairarapa.
Okay. So how did you get to that?
I think my mother's cousin, distant cousin, actually owned home with the Tatham family.
Okay.
Suddenly got chucked onto a horse. We had horses in those days, not yeah. motorbikes. And I hadn't ridden
one. You say so, you hadn't?
Okay. I hadn't ridden a horse.
Okay. So you grew up on a farm in this area?
Yeah.
Okay.
Farm in Cheltenham.
Okay.
In Cheltenham, and no, horses were something they didn't do, or we didn't do.
So was it all sheep farming? Or
Sheep and beef.
Yeah, okay.
Sheep and beef. But anyway, 2 years at Homewood, had a year at Massey University.
Okay.
Doing a sheep diploma.
All right, so you did school right through and then went to...
Went to Homewood for 2 years.
Yeah.
Massey for 1965.
Oh, you came back and did study. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's great year. Gentleman called Peter McGilvray might ring bells around this district. Do you know him?
Yeah. My father was at Massey from 1959.
Yep. With Peter. Well, under Peter.
Well, no, he was just he was the registrar.
Mm. So he had a wonderful ability to remember names.
Yeah.
Like you'd go into his class, he'd make you stand up. His bright blue eyes would look at you.
Yeah.
And then he knew your name, not just for that term. Yeah. Basically forever.
Yeah.
You could run into him in the street in Palmerston North
and
he'd say, "G'day, John." And now that's pretty special.
Yeah.
Years later. Yeah. Right. Anyway. Yeah. So 2 years there, overseas for a wee while.
Hang on. So you were at Massey when it was an agricultural college?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Were there many students?
Sheep diploma.
Okay.
Now
so that, was that doing all the wool stuff as well? Or
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was known... colloquially as a sheep dip.
Yep.
Sheep dip. Yes. The diploma was a dip. Yes.
Massey buried it.
Yeah.
I suppose it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm. That might be a bit more than that. They buried the sheep dip.
Been a lot of change.
Like literally the last students carried the coffin around on their shoulders.
Yeah. So was it normal then for the farmers to do the diplomas or do the further training?
No, I don't think so.
And what drove you to it? Your family pushed you, or you thought you wanted more in the first?
I'm not sure. Honestly, can't remember that. Who put me into that? But I think probably me. A farming education, I thought, was always very important.
Yes. Yeah.
Not just to do what your dad did.
Yes.
Religiously, as many of my friends are still doing, for God's sake.
To
get out and actually learn a little bit more about the game. Yeah.
So you'd have a more positive approach to farm advisors and that sort of thing.
Employed farm advisors nearly all my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Nearly all my farming life. Yeah.
So which high school did you go to?
I went to Whanganui Collegiate. Cheltenham School up to there. Okay.
So you were boarding there, or and that was if you grow up on a largish farm, then you sent off to collegiate or something like that. Was that the pattern, or
lots of farmers' sons in those days. Now it's all doctors and lawyers, I think.
Wasn't initially started, was it Huntley, as a school for country boys to go to, as from a Christian.
Is this part of the old English tradition? As soon as your kids were weaned, just about, you sent them off to boarding school.
Yeah.
I don't think that was the case.
But in the country, sometimes they had to travel so far to get to school.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
I still feel sorry for those overseas I'm thinking about Britain, those overseas postings. The kid at 5 years old, he got, see you later.
Yes,
and Mum just didn't see him again.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we are digressing badly.
Yeah. Do you have positive memories of boarding then?
Hell yeah.
Yeah? It was good. Yeah, okay. I know some of mine who it's more women who went to boarding school think we've got to get together and try and talk through the trauma we went through. But it's, I think, different experiences.
Yeah, no, I loved it.
Yeah, why was that? Lots of sport and
lots of sport,
meeting the
sport
kids.
More than work.
Yeah.
That's what the boys say, the same thing. My boys say if they hadn't had to go to school, it would have been the best time of their lives, boarding at school. Doing all the sporting things, going tramping, being well fed, and the companionship.
All sorts of stuff.
Brilliant. Yeah. But no schooling.
Okay. So it wasn't very academic then, or they were pushing that at the same time?
We did have a new headmaster came in and it became a lot more academic.
Yeah.
It needed to.
And that was okay? You didn't mind that?
Yeah.
You enjoyed that?
Yeah. Well, I had to work a bit harder.
Okay.
Yeah. And...
Does that mean you had a community? The people you were at school with, you'd known them through your life and had a lot of contact.
Mostly new people.
Yeah,
mostly.
Okay.
Yeah. But you kept in touch with a lot of them.
Some of them.
Yes.
No, some. Most of the Massey.
Oh yeah.
Massey, when you're in early 20s.
You
do make a lot of friends there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm still great friends with five or six of those. Students that I met there. Didn't know them before.
No.
But yeah.
Okay. So you did some training?
Yeah. At Massey, had a go in the army for a wee while.
Oh, of course you did.
Did my basic training.
Yeah. How long was that? Just a few weeks?
6 months, I think. 3 months basic, and then 3 months. I was actually a plant operator. I told the people that were sort of. Deciding where lot would go, that I'd driven a bulldozer on the station, which I had. I didn't tell her, but I only ran it just down the road, stalled it, couldn't start it, and had to walk home. But that was enough. I'm a plant operator, and I'm driving motor scrapers, rollers, and bloody all sorts of gear in the army.
Good fun, anyway.
I suppose.
Okay. And then you went back to the family farm?
Dad bought a... I remember Mum saying to my father, you've got two sons. They both want a farm. You've only got one farm.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. So he bought a farm just outside Paratua.
Okay, yeah.
Quite steep hill country.
Yeah.
So I had about a year or maybe 2 years on there. Okay. As soon as I finished Massey, I was out there. But,
with the idea that one son would have that farm and the other would have the other?
That's the idea.
Yeah.
Was that at Coomera?
No, I'm kidding there.
Oh, sorry.
There's one in between.
So you had a year there and then you thought,
Bought another property further north.
Okay.
Quite funny because we actually took our breeding cows from one farm to the other one.
Okay, yeah.
And there's no boundary gate, but we happened to be doing up the boundary fence.
Yeah.
So there was no boundary fence.
Okay.
I remember my brother and I driving these cattle just across one neighbour down into the gully, up the other side and into the new farm.
Into the other farm, yeah.
Gosh, it was a long day.
Yeah.
Hell, it was a long day. I didn't know cattle could be so stubborn when they got off their own country.
Settled to their own places.
Way around. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So how long did it take for them to settle to the new farm then?
Not long.
Okay, yeah. So you'd know that these new ideas, have the collar round with the electronic thing instead of fences. Do you have a view on that?
I reckon it's fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So no need for fences.
But
I think
they cost you something like seven. What is it? It's thick end of $100 a year per animal.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you've got to be making some money to do that. But I've got some friends farming beef, not dairy.
Okay. So they're doing it.
And they're doing
it.
And they're farming bulls, so.
Yeah.
So there's a problem because bulls' necks get so big.
Yes.
And suddenly they've run out of collar.
Okay. Yeah. But I suppose you'd save a bit on the fencing, though, wouldn't you, I suppose, and stock movement.
Oh, huge. It's amazing. It's
so amazing. You pay for the collar, but you get the gains and the other efficiencies.
Think so.
Okay. Yeah. Right, we jumped forward a bit there. Okay, so you got this new pub.
Yeah, so I went to this Coober Raw property. I had 7 years there.
Yeah. How big was that?
1,500 acres.
Okay.
Just over 15.
And that was a big farm for those days, or average?
It was a stepping stone farm, to be honest. Okay. You remember Philip Morris? Yeah, you know Philip Morris?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, then the Coober Raw district was pretty special.
Yeah. Why is that?
Yeah, well, Jane and Graham farmed up on the saddle, but they were sort of part of that group.
It was a community.
Yeah. Oh, it was just a very good community.
Fantastic community.
Okay. Yeah. But meaning what? I've heard this. You have people pull together and if something needs doing and they need extra stuff, they all
absolutely
pull in and they look out.
It's a social side of it as well. And amazing tennis parties. You go somewhere for tennis parties team would... What was the team you had that went off and played squash at night or indoor tennis?
No, not that, I didn't know.
The community sort of works together
it was a good one.
Joins in the disasters, whatever it is.
Which has sort of faded a bit now. You've got lower population density.
Quite different when I got over to my smaller farm in Cheltenham.
Oh, okay.
And suddenly everyone's sort of... I mean, we had
a community. With a smaller farm, so you're closer together and there's less community.
But people are doing, less.
Well, less shared. Okay.
Because we had a farm discussion group going at Coober Raw.
Okay.
I can only remember three of them, but there were more than that.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, I still remember some of those bits. The fellow called Colin Morrison, who Jane will know, and... he got involved with the Anderson and Marshall Romney breed of sheep.
Okay.
And I can still remember going to his property and it ran up right up into the Puketoi Ranges, very steep at the back.
Yeah.
And these big, strong, clean-faced sheep.
Yeah.
You know, because at Massey, we were taken to a fellow called Henry Rutherford.
Yeah.
And Henry had 60 acres. And he was making a very good income, thank you, selling sheep that they were wool blind, they had wool right down to their socks, right down to their feet.
Right. Yeah.
But, he was a stud breeder.
Yeah.
Now, then suddenly, hill country and these sheep just suited it.
Yeah,
okay. We ran Perrindales.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, I had 7 years there, a lot of development work, a lot of cutting scrub.
Yeah. Was gorse the infrastructure?
No, not gorse. We didn't have gorse.
Okay.
Well, if we do, we killed it pretty damn quick.
Did
you have broom on your farm?
No. Just scrub. Hours on a scrub saw.
Yeah.
Did a lot of fencing.
Yeah.
Tidied the place up. The infrastructure was... the previous owner, he was very keen on shooting deer.
Yeah.
So we had deer trophies all around the walls.
Yeah.
But when you... chasing deer around there, you're not actually farming, so the place was a bit of a shambles, frankly.
Yeah.
But we tidied that up, pretty young and keen then.
Yeah. So the idea there, it was basically just clear grass with fencing? Or not many trees?
No.
Yeah, no. Or gullies? Did you have gullies?
It's quite steep country. It's steep country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you suffer from slips, or you left some things growing on the hill?
It wasn't bad in the end. Okay. We had underrunners.
What are underrunners?
Underrunners are limestone country where you just got a hole in the ground.
Oh, and the water goes underground.
The water goes down, and which is a bit tricky when a calf gets in there. And you've got to hop in there and hook the calf
out. So they're open holes that you could...
Just open holes.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're down there lifting a calf out and mum's running around outside.
Would she be aggressive with all that? Or would the calf's mother be aggressive?
No, she'd flatten you if you got the chance.
Even though you were helping her out.
Well, she didn't.
So you push the calf up first, let her get away.
Keep your head down for a while.
Okay. Would you be doing that on your own, or you'd have other people?
You're on your own.
Yeah.
Although I did employ guys.
That can be quite risky, though, isn't it?
I suppose it is when you think about it.
Or get attacked much? Or?
No.
No.
Not really.
No. Okay.
Certainly a few close shaves.
Yeah.
But Fed Farmers had a system going where they...
Federated Farmers.
Federated Farmers at the time, where we could employ cadets.
Okay.
In fact, I had one ring me up only yesterday.
Yeah.
And I employed him in about 1967.
Yeah.
67, perhaps. And he's coming to see me, so...
Oh, lovely.
I think I had four of those over the years, and two of them were great, the other two were bloody useless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People coming from a farming background, or...?
Yes, Alf's from Middleton, way down east, down south.
Okay.
And the other joke is now wearing a dog collar.
Yeah, okay. Mm.
Well, one of those white things the clergy wear.
Yeah. So you were doing beef cattle and sheep. Do you have a preference?
1,500, 2,500 pair of Dale ewes.
Yeah.
Replacements and beef. Breeding cows.
Okay. Yeah. So did you use, you'd have used dogs, did you use horses, or are you using bikes?
Started off with horses.
Yeah.
Slowly I got into the... I was at Coomeraw when the motorbike started to come in.
Yeah.
You know, I remember we had a thing called a mountain goat.
Yeah.
Which was absolutely useless.
Yeah.
Like a very gentle slope, it would slide off it and finish in the gully if you weren't careful.
Yeah.
But they got better and better and better. And now, of course, every farmer's got side-by-sides and four-wheel drivers. And
Yeah.
No, we didn't have that stuff. So horses...
What's your view on the obvious early on the transition? It's a bit marginal because the bikes weren't so good, or you just thought this was progress. And
the bikes were great when you remember to fill them up with petrol.
Yeah.
And you only let it run out once. It was a hell of a long walk home.
Yeah.
And then another long walk back out with a tin of petrol. But
But the horse, someone was saying, with the horse, well, if you're going to use them, you've got to catch them first and all the attention.
You get pretty fit doing that.
So it's much easier just to start a bike.
Well, this country didn't really have any flats.
Okay, yeah.
Just straight up. And,
But you enjoyed working with a horse?
Yeah, I did, actually. Well, horses are great for mustering.
Yeah. Okay. Why is that? They don't scare the stock as much, you think?
No, it's just you're working your dog on quite a big country. He's quite a long way away.
Yeah.
But you can just drop your reins on the horse. He's not going to walk over the bank.
Ah, yes.
But your motorbike will if you don't watch it.
Yeah.
I don't know. And dog trials, Coomeraw Dog Trial Club.
Yeah.
Big part of the life out there.
Yeah.
What else did we do out there?
That's almost enough.
That was three-day trials, I think.
And I actually
drove him on the stairs from there back to my property at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
My dad's property. My dad was still there.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. So how far was that?
4 days.
Okay.
4 days on the road. Yeah. You wouldn't do it now.
No, that's it's all in trucks now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's all trucks.
Did you go over the saddle road, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Down through Ashurst? And you had the night pen?
I think we had a night pen up on top of the saddle.
Yep.
And then I think I got to Collerton next day. Yeah. And Dad. Dad was still on the farm. He came and picked me up, and the dogs, of course. And
When was this? This was mid-60s?
Mid to late 60s.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So when did that sort of droving stop?
It stopped... Well, the Hurleys and the Duncans used to run their mobs down from Gisborne. That was their standard wintering policy.
Okay.
They'd buy these two-year steers, run them, put them on the road. That's how they wintered them. But Wairoa Township suddenly got sick of all the all the effluent in their streets. They told you can't come through here.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to put them on a truck. So that really killed it for them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I did get caught once.
Yeah.
On the Cheltenham farm, I had cattle behind a brake fence.
Yeah.
No collars then, Stuart.
Yeah.
A lot of electric fences.
Yeah.
And I left the gate open.
Ah, yeah.
And just in time for her, I think they were Duncans, came over the bridge. Ah, and the next minute they just walked through the fences like they weren't there. And,
oh,
geez.
Yeah.
And I suddenly realised halfway through drafting them out that the drivers really couldn't damn well care less.
Yeah.
Their cattle, a few extra were pretty good.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I came over to property.
Yeah.
Just outside Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Ran right behind Cheltenham, actually. And that was my family farm.
Yeah.
186 hectares, 460 acres.
Yeah.
Okay. Took that over 1974.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was there till 2019, so I had, 45 years there.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Okay. So you were married by then, I suppose, and then you were married by then?
I got married in 75.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So your kids grew up on the farm? And
kids grew up on the farm.
Yeah.
Mm. What a wonderful place to grow up. It really is.
Yeah.
They went to Cheltenham School?
Yeah, went to Cheltenham School. So I did all those sorts of things. You know, I was on the board of Cheltenham School. And, committee of the board, all those sorts of things. Had a,
now, it's a wonderful thing for the kids growing up on a farm. What were the, when you look and say, what were the advantages of growing up on a farm?
Freedom.
You have to ask them, really.
Yeah, yeah. You just didn't see them. They were busy.
Well, one of my daughters used to get her friends and they'd go camping.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All over the property.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they were tiny,
I
put them in a backpack and take them out on the motorbike and be very careful not to fall off.
I know some from farming background, you're just used to the idea you work and you're doing loads of work on probably more dairy farming.
The children, they all joined in. They had to help at mustering and sharing and docking. The children, little girls. They have their pets. There's just the freedom.
Yeah, yeah.
But they do have to help.
Yeah. The oldest one had a stint in a shearing gang for 4 months, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Okay.
5 o'clock starts. They get up at five, but they weren't 5 o'clock starts by then.
Yeah, okay.
Mm. So there they
but what about the community? They've got many friends in nearby farms and they get together easily that sort of thing. Mm. Yeah. Okay.
I've never forgotten the steward coming home from a lambing beat.
Yeah.
Late August, early September, perhaps, and a southerly.
Yeah.
Dinkum southerly, hands were frozen.
Yeah.
And I came into the last paddock thinking, thank God, I'll be just about home for a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And here's three naked kids walking up the paddock with the water, stark naked with the sacks over their shoulders. They wanted to go sliding down the hills, which they did.
Yeah.
Came back covered in mud.
Yeah, probably don't feel the cold in the same way. Yeah.
I never got that.
Yeah.
Hilarious. It's Kate and a couple of my mates.
Oh, well, so if they were doing that, no wonder you've got your pool out here and you go in there every day.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I wasn't doing that. They were.
Okay.
So the Cheltenham farm was pretty easy country, very easy, flat to rolling, I suppose.
Easy country. Does that mean you've got a bigger farm, so there's more work, or you'd be working as hard, presumably, would you? But it's just easier.
You go from doing a 5 day week to a 7 day week.
Yeah.
Which I found pretty hard.
Yeah. Okay, so why is that?
There's always something going on a small farm.
Yeah, okay.
Always. Until you get yourself highly organised, which took me years to do.
Yeah.
The place was really run down when I took it over. Dad had lived there all his life. Basically all his life. Never moved anywhere else.
Yeah.
Okay. And he basically was sick of it.
Yeah,
so the place was pretty run down. The infrastructure was bad.
Yeah.
Fences were bloody hopeless.
Yeah. So it was so just getting in shape to start with afterwards.
A lot of work to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And plus we had cropping.
Yeah.
So it was sort of sheep, beef, cropping.
Okay.
Those three.
And why was finished. That was to make an income from it? You mean you needed the cropping?
Cropping, you make a bit of income out of it. But at least to renew your pastures.
Ah, okay. But on a larger farm, you wouldn't be doing that?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do the same.
Just more than more crop, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That was, as I say, 180 hectares. Yeah, interesting property. It had... Oh, just I'll go back to where I was. When I took it over, we had breeding cows on the place.
Yeah.
I just took over Dad's stock.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you've got to be bloody lucky to be able to take on a place like this.
Yes.
As I say, I lived there for 45 years, and we had a bloody fantastic life there.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but it was a shambles when I took it over. And pastures are run down, the fences.
Yeah.
Old Toach was stab fences.
Yeah.
All over the place with little barberry hedges alongside them. And. Total stabs are great, except one stable can fall out of your fence. A batten falls down and sheep can walk through the hole.
Ah,
just like that. Okay. One staple.
So why, how does that compare to other...
Post and wire.
Yeah.
Oh, I had to get rid of those.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of fencing, and I did it myself.
Yeah.
Okay. Nearly everything, all the development was out of income. I didn't buy money to go and do it.
Okay.
Water supply was pretty hopeless.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of time bucking around with that. Because, you know, that's probably the most important part of your farm.
Yeah.
If you haven't got water, you can't farm.
You had the river running past you, didn't you?
That's the stupid thing about it. We had a river and two creeks on the property, and that was Dad's water supply.
Yeah. And you were allowed to take... were you limited in how much water you could take out?
You couldn't. No, they were summer dry, or nearly summer dry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So did you have a dam? How did you get your water?
Dams? No, wells.
Wells.
In the end, I mucked around a lot and went on to the Kiwitea water scheme.
Okay.
And so you put it in a tank and it's got water all the time.
Yeah.
It costs you.
This is part one of two. Listen next week for part two.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.